Hello and welcome to Readers Entertainment Radio. I'm your host, Sheila English, and with me is one of my favorite authors and favorite people, the outspoken and entertaining Shiloh Walker. Welcome, Shiloh.
Hi, Sheila. Thanks for having me.
Now, before we get started, I just want to let our listeners know that you'll be able to leave questions or comments for Shiloh at readersentertainment.com, where the podcast is now live. This is a pre-recorded show, so I'm sorry you won't be able to call in or have the live chat, but it was now or never, and Shiloh's always on the go, so I take her when I can get her. But check out Shiloh's website while you're listening to the podcast, because we're going to be talking about the website a little bit. There's a lot of information on there, and that's at shilohwalker.com. I'm going to spell it S-H-I-L-O-H. Walker, W-A-L-K-E-R.com, and go check out that website while we're chatting. Now, Shiloh, you have a new trilogy coming out, and it starts with If You Hear Her. Now, let's start with that book. Can you tell us a little bit about the story behind that book?
Well, basically, it's about a killer who's been hiding in plain sight. It's set in a fictional town in Ashe, Kentucky, and it's probably not too far it'd be in an area that you'd be familiar with. It's close to Lexington, Kentucky.
Okay, yes.
I put it in a fictional county. It's called Carrington County. The heroine of the story, her name's Lena, and one night she wakes up and she hears a woman screaming. And she calls the police, but the police come out and they don't find anything. They don't see anybody. It's not like there's been a car wreck and there's a woman out there stumbling around. They don't know what to do. It's not that they disbelieve her, but they can't really find anything either. Since they don't find anybody, they're not exactly sure how to handle it. Then there's a body. So they still buy and they find a body. The hero of the story, his name's Ezra, and Ezra is on leave from the state police. He had taken an injury on the job several months earlier. And it was a pretty bad injury. He had to have several surgeries, and it also put his head in a very bad spot. So he's kind of, the way he describes it in the book is he's out there trying to figure out the best way to waste his life because he doesn't know if he wants to go back to being a cop. But then he hears her story and that little cop instinct that they've got, he knows something's wrong.
I love it. So you've got a lot of different levels of conflict going on in this book.
Yes.
I love that. I really do. I know that, you know, a lot of people love the simple, straightforward, but, you know, when it comes to romantic suspense, I think anything that's suspense.
You can't have straightforward with suspense.
Yeah, you really need those levels. It's really a thinking person's kind of story. You know, somebody who likes, all of us who love to read the thriller, suspense, mysteries, you know, we love to have that, those extra layers. Now, tell me, what ties the three books in the trilogy together?
Well, you don't really find out who the killer is until the third book.
Oh.
Each of the books, there's a different hero and heroine in each of the books, and each of their stories is resolved by the end of that book. But the story, the mystery itself, is carries throughout all three of the stories. So he's all the characters, the hero and the heroine from each book, you get to meet them, and you see each of them reoccurring in each of the books. So that kind of
oh, I love that.
And it's all of them are take place in Ashe. They all take place, and that's in the town of Ashe, Kentucky.
Now, what's the name of the other books?
There's If You Hear Her, If You See Her, and If You Know Her. And it's
okay.
for those people kind of like that small town romance type of book. These are set in kind of a small town, so it's kind of
right.
Got that small town romance feel, but it's close enough to the bigger town that it's not just the small town romance feel.
That goes back to your layers. You kind of got
yes.
a little something for everybody.
I tried to do that.
Now, you write in a lot of different genres. What do you love most about writing romantic suspense?
You get to scare people a little bit. I try not to go do too bad, but I like doing the. I like playing with things, and I really got to play with this one.
I love it. So when you're doing the romantic suspense, you know, do you have to really think about, like, do you put yourself in your character's position so that you can kind of gauge how much suspense you're giving to a reader?
Well, I'm going to make myself sound like a crazy person here, but I see these things unfolding in my head. Sometimes it's kind of like a picture book almost, and sometimes it's more like a slow motion movie. Sometimes it's a movie and flash forward, or sometimes it's more like a trailer. But I see the things unfolding in my head, so I'm kind of already living in their shoes. So uh-huh. It's unfolding for me. So that's not so, usually it's not so much necessary.
Do you ever have fans email you and say, that scared the crap out of me?
One of my friends that I know online, Beta Red, if you hear her, I needed some advice on law type stuff. And she, after she read it, I don't know so much know that you could say it scared her, but she sent me a link to a video. And she goes, this is what your book did. And it just shows a girl running through the woods going, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
I love it. Now, you're also known for writing some pretty hot stuff. Can we expect your romantic suspense trilogy to have hot love scenes as well?
They're hot, but they're not. It's not like my erotic romances. I don't think it's going to be anything that if people pick it up and they don't like erotic romance, it's going to push any of their hot buttons, and they're not going to, I don't think it's going to turn anybody off because of the heat levels so much.
Uh-huh.
But I also think it's going to have enough that some of those who really do like the hotter romances, they should still enjoy this.
I trust. So they're steamy and hot, but it's not like
I would say
kinky.
I'm steamy.
I
would call these steamy.
I like it. Now tell me, how did you start your writing career?
Oh, I've always written. I've been writing for as long as I can remember. I don't remember ever really not having these stories in my head. I started writing for a living I sold my first story like towards the end of 2002. I think it was published in 2003, and then I quit my job to work full-time as a writer in 2004. But I've always written.
So has this been kind of an adventure for you then, becoming a writer?
Yeah, it's been like a roller coaster ride. And that means it's had its ups and it's had its downs.
But you've had a pretty consistent fan base. I mean, your fans, and now this is from an outsider's opinion. When I go and I see, because you're on Twitter all the time, we're going to talk about that in a minute, but, you know, when I am at conferences or when I'm looking at social media, you seem to have some really loyal fans.
Yes, I love my readers. They are wonderful.
And that's been, now have you found that's been consistent through all genres and all your series, or do you have like maybe, you know, you have a bigger following in a certain genre that you write than in others?
Well, I don't know. I used to think that my Hunter series were the ones that people liked the most. And I've got a fairy tale series. It's a different slant on fairy tales, but my Grimm series, it seems like the readers who like that, they really seem to love it. But then the books that have really, really been popular that I wasn't quite expecting have been the romantic suspense books that I wrote for Berkeley, Broken and Fragile, and The Missing. That was a paranormal romantic suspense. It was kind of a more reality-based paranormal. She was a psychic. And I was surprised at how good those did, because I wasn't really expecting people to enjoy those as much. And it seems like as far as the my more traditionally published romances go, the ones the readers like the most there seem to be my romantic suspenses. Now, if you look at my electronically published stuff, they all seem to go more for the paranormal things, whether it's the Hunter's books or my Grimm series. But as far as the traditionally published stuff, I think people like my romantic suspenses more. And I'm not entirely sure if it's still the just different reading bases, because it seems a lot of times those audiences are merging more and more, but I don't know.
I think that's very interesting that you know there's this delineation between the print books and the ebooks as far as, you know, what's more popular. I mean, that's just, it's very interesting. You know, I know that, you know, there were a lot of, I guess you'd call them early adopters to the ebook, you know, universe that were a lot of romance people. And then there were a lot of horror people too, because horror got on board with, ebooks after romance. So you kind of see the merging. So the paranormal kind of makes sense to me. And romantic suspense, I don't know that ever goes out of fashion, but it does seem to be hot right now.
I hope so.
You agree?
I hope so. Since the paranormal romance is something I seem to be pretty good at, since I'm always doing the weird, I've always got weird ideas in my head, and the romantic suspense is something I can almost always seem to come up with something, since I'm always thinking who did it, or I've always got those paranoid ideas in my head. Hopefully those will stay there, because those are two I think I can work with. I hope they stay hot.
I think they will, and you've been lucky. You've had some really great covers too.
Oh.
I mean, I think that helps, don't you?
Yes, I've gotten very lucky with covers.
I think people are really influenced. It's like if you have a good cover and a good back cover blurb, you know, I think people are willing to give it a shot. And you have a great author's voice. I don't know if anybody's ever told you that, but, you know, and for our listeners, when we say an author's voice, it's not the voice you hear when she answers my questions, but the author's voice is the when you're reading, kind of the way that the rhythm of the way the author talks and the words that are chosen, and you know, it's some people it's almost this poetic flow, and for some people they're really good at dialogue. I mean, you just kind of, you know, you got blessed with pretty much everything. You're like triple threat as an author, right?
Oh, thank you. I don't know if I agree with that, but thank you. Gotten wonderful covers. I love my covers.
Oh, I know. Well, you know what? But here, in all fairness, and how many books do you have out? Do you know how many books you've written?
No.
Total?
I think
I know it's a lot.
Over 60. Now, there's not 60 in print anymore. The some of my earlier Hunter books, they're all reverting back to me in this fall. Some of them were last month. A couple will be this month. A couple will be next month. But I've got over 60 works that have been published.
Yeah, see, and that says a lot. I think people don't realize, you know, there are a lot of people who try to get published out there. You know, there are a lot of people who are good who are trying to get published. You know, to have a career in which you have, you know, 60 plus books, you know, you just look at that logically, and people are, you know, you can see people love your voice. People love that you're definitely a storyteller.
Well, thank you.
You know, and, you know, you can't have a reoccurring success rate like that without having, you know, being blessed with some talent, truly. Now, tell me what, do you write full time? Do you have another life? What do you do when you're not writing?
Well, I definitely have another life outside of writing. I used to work as a nurse. I keep my license active, but that's about it for that. Mostly I keep the license active because I'm paranoid. I don't trust writing to last forever, and until I can trust it to last forever, I keep the license active. But I'm a mom. I'm married. We've got 3 kids, and I'm married to my high school sweetheart. We've been married for 15 years. We just had our 15th anniversary, but we've been together for 20 years now.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. We were together all through high school. I already mentioned we've got 3 kids. They are the biggest blessing in our life, and they keep us busy, and they make us pull our hair out all at the same time. So, yes, it's definitely a very busy life outside of writing. And I think a writer needs a life outside of writing because ideas come from living.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, you're writing romance. You've been with your husband for, you know, for 20 years,
you know,
and high school sweethearts. And
I honestly
I don't think
I could write romance if I had not had the relationship that I've got. I mean, it's not that I'm saying it's not possible, but for me, I'm not one of those people who could write about that sort of thing unless I've actually lived it and felt it.
Now, who do you read? Well, you know, who are your favorite authors?
Oh, well, that list can change with any given moment. There's a couple who are Nora Roberts and J.D. Robb. They've always been at the top of my list ever since I found them. Linda Howard has always been at the top of my list ever since I found her. Ilona Andrews, I just started reading her a few years ago, but ever since I did find her, she has stayed at the top of my list. Stacia Kane, she's another one who's fairly new for me. I just found her maybe, I think her books just came out about a year or so ago, but again, she's another one. Once I found her, I gobble up every single book of hers that I can find, and they are wonderful. Janine Frost, I love her books.
Oh, I love her. I absolutely love her.
I like Anna Guire's books, Anna Guire. Mm-hmm. Anna Guire. But that list can change. But I would say those are the ones that currently, as soon as I see one of their books, I have to have it. And if it's somebody I know, there's a few of those on that list that I will email and beg if I can read it. And some of them are kind enough to say yes.
Oh, nice.
That's one of those ups about that up and down roller coaster. That's one of those ups.
Well, you got a perk. You got to take the perks.
Yes. Got to take the perks. Every once in a while you'll get a perk, and that's one of the nice perks.
Now, I want to talk a little bit about your website and what I found there. Now, you have this Shiloh Walker symbol, a little heart with a sword that goes through. Who made that for you?
Well, Stacia Kane recommended them to me. I'd seen a logo she had, and she gave me the name. It's Iron Forge Press, and that's at ironforgepress.com. They did amazing. They sent me, like, I told them what I wrote and what I was kind of looking for, and they sent me, I'd say, between 6 to 8 samples, and then I chose the one I liked the best, and that was the one.
Now, have you ever thought about making little tattoos of those? Because, I mean, it's really a great little logo.
No, I don't know if I thought about doing tattoos. I mean, who in the world wants to have Shiloh Walker, I mean, even just a temporary tattoo on their arm?
Oh, yeah, those little temporary tattoos. I mean, fans love stuff like that. I see them doing that for Sherilyn Kenyon. A lot of people do. But it's cute.
I shall have to email you and see if you have suggestions on where to look for tattoos. I will.
Yeah. Think about that. Now, I see that you're making some appearances here and there. Where can people meet you in person?
Well, I think the next one I'm going to have after the interview is going to be in St. Louis. It's going to be, I think the event is called Dark, Dangerous, and Dirty. It's in St. Louis at Rose's Bookhouse on November 5th.
Okay.
I'm going to be in Cincinnati. Well, it's a little bit north of Cincinnati. It's in Westchester, Ohio at the Barnes & Noble. That's going to be on December 3rd. And all these dates and details are listed on my website.
Well, you'll have to. I'll have to try and come see you in Westchester
because
that's close for me. I love going to Westchester. That's where Lori Foster has her events.
Yes, and I
get to see you there.
It will be at that Barnes and Noble. And then my next thing, I will be in Tucson, Arizona, in March at the Tucson Festival of Books. That's going to be March 10th and 11th, and I will be doing a couple of signings, and I will be speaking on a couple of panels.
Oh, nice.
Yes, I'm very excited about that one. We went to Arizona on our vacation this last year, and I think I feel a little bit in love, and I want to go back.
I love it. I'm fortunate. My dad has owns a home in Yuma, and so I'll fly into Phoenix and just, you know, stay a while there. But I absolutely love Arizona. It's a beautiful state.
I'm jealous.
Now, especially when it's snowing over here on our side, then I'm jealous.
I don't mind that. No, but I Arizona is just it's so beautiful, and it's so different from what we have here.
Yes, it is. It's very different, very picturesque, just different colors, different everything. I love it. Now, tell me, you have several series going on. We talked a little bit about that. Is it hard to go back and forth writing different worlds, or does that keep things fresh for you?
It keeps things fresh for the most part, and I've got a short attention span, and going back and forth just kind of keeps me focused a little bit. I know that sounds kind of weird, but the only time it ever really causes me a problem is if I'm really, really tired, and I'm trying to write when I'm really, really tired. And I'm talking kind of tired where you literally feel your eyeballs just kind of rolling in the back of your head. And when that happens, every once in a while I will find like one of my paranormal characters popping up in a romantic suspense or contemporary, which is really, really odd. And it's like he's there to tell me, okay, it's time to shut down and go to bed now. You've done enough. So that's the only time it ever really causes me problems.
Now, what do you do as far as research? I mean, your books always feel like they're well-researched. What do you do to research for the different books?
Well, the paranormal, I can't really say I research
those. Yeah.
I mean, I've never been bitten by a vampire or a werewolf, thank God. I really don't think that's an experience I want to go through. But I do read a lot of paranormal stuff, and I grew up cutting my teeth on that. I mean, I was reading weird stuff just back before weird stuff was even popular. I mean, some of the books I grew up reading were things like Mercedes Lackey. She had, I think, the Diana Tregard series. She was writing urban fantasy before anybody even realized what urban fantasy was, I think. And
yeah.
I was writing, what was it? It was kind of something, scary stories to tell around a campfire or something like that. Just ghost stories and that sort of thing. I was reading those in elementary school. And I would, and I would read, just like the just weird things all through, I mean, my entire life I've been doing that. And some of the books I can remember reading in elementary school were things like Benicula, other people, and now I read Laura Ingalls Wilder too, but when other girls were reading things like Junie Dean Jones or that sort of thing in elementary school, I was reading Benicula, and then I'd go and read more ghost stories, or I would read fairy tale books. I mean, one of my favorite books was The Brothers Grimm, and I'm not talking some of the more whitewashed versions, but just the original Brothers Grimm. So I literally grew up with that sort of thing in my reading material. So a lot of that stuff just already in my head. Oh, and I'd also read encyclopedias if I couldn't find anything else.
Wow, a readaholic.
Yes, I was a readaholic. And my mom would take cereal boxes away from me when I was sitting at the table in the morning because I would be reading the cereal box. I would literally, I always had to have something in my hand. For romantic suspense, I talk to cops a lot, and I'm always, if I find out somebody's a cop, I email them. Oh, and for If You Hear Her, me and my husband, literally at like 10 o'clock one night, we were knocking on a cop's door. Now, my husband knew the cop, but I had questions in my head, and I had to have them answered. And I was asking my husband, driving them, he's like, can we just go over to his house, please? So we were over at his house at 10 o'clock. Now, it was date night, and that's how we spent date night, at a cop's house. And, I'll email lawyers, and I read forensics books and stuff. But one thing I try not to do is I try not to go into too much detail because I found that if you keep it – somebody told me once, people don't want to know how the clock works. They just want to know that it works.
Right. Oh, I totally agree with that.
And
I totally agree with that.
That's one thing I try to do. I try to I want a basic understanding, and I just try to relay my basic understanding of things. I don't want to give a tutorial on something that I'm not
well-versed
in.
Oh, and you know, I see that. I've seen that in other books where, you know, you're going, it kind of takes you out of the story. It's like all of a sudden you're going story, 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 and then all of a sudden there's this lesson on, you know, the flora and fauna of whatever. It's like, oh, please, no.
Well, you
please
know,
don't do
one
that
thing,
to me.
One thing, one book I don't like to read is something that's medical. Like medical romances, I won't read medical romances, and I won't, or even if it's a thriller type thing, if the hero or heroine, some kind of doctor or nurse, unless I know that the person who wrote it is actually a doctor or a nurse, I most of the time, I will not touch it because people get things wrong. And nothing bothers me more than when, like one of the most common things I'll see on like TV shows is things like patient confidentiality and that sort of thing, which is a big thing in the medical field.
Yeah.
And if somebody can't get that right, then how do I know they're going to get anything else right? So why is it worth it? If they can't take the time to get that kind of detail right, which is a huge thing, and just ask any medical professional, then how do I know they took the time to even tell me a decent
right.
story. So that's
exactly.
one of the reasons
no.
I,
yeah.
I try not to give tutorials on things that I'm not a professional in anyway.
Right. Now, I'm going to switch gears a little bit. I know you're on Twitter a lot. I know because I see you there all the time.
No, you don't. No, you don't. That's my ghost. I'm writing all the time.
Yeah. You are writing all the time. Sometimes it's only 140 characters at a time, though. Now, do you find your fans like to interact with you a lot on social media?
Yeah. Some more than others, and some like seeing me there. And I'm trying to curb my Twittering because I haven't been on Twitter as much lately just because I've got a November 1st deadline that's killing
right.
me. I was really sick back in the spring, and it's kind of thrown my deadline and stuff off. So I haven't been online as much as I used to. But, yeah, I do tend to have a lot of people interacting with me on Twitter.
Now, are there other places they can interact with you? Like, are you on Facebook? Or
yes,
yourself?
I am on Facebook. I'm at facebook.com/author Shiloh Walker.
Author Shiloh Walker. Okay. Okay. Now you're a pretty outspoken woman. I was looking at the page that you have on your website about piracies. Now, is that a hot button for you? Like, do you have a lot of your books that have been pirated, and what do you do about that?
Piracy is a very big hot button for me. Books get pirated like mad. I'm no different from any other author. Some people, they say it doesn't hurt the authors, but they're not the one that it's happening to.
Right.
There's authors out there, they make enough money off their, and this is sometimes more for digital authors than anybody else, but they use their income just to be able to buy groceries for their kids. And I've seen how many books I sell in a month. If they have a fraction of the books I do, and there are people out there who are pirating their books, and this author is selling less than they're getting pirated, but they're pirating more. If,
right.
if the book's being pirated, outnumber the books being sold, and the person's only got two or three releases out, you can't tell me it's not hurting that author.
Right.
When there's
Absolutely.
A mid-list author who doesn't get her contract renewed due to low sales, but those books are out there getting pirated by the hundreds and the thousands and the thousands and the thousands, you can't say it's not hurting that author. It's not their career on the line.
Yeah.
It is a hot spot for me. I do what I can. I write about it. I write articles about it. I speak up about it. I do what I can just to try to make people aware of it. And I handle
right.
it on my end. I send takedown notices on my own. I don't turn it over to my publisher. A lot of people, a lot of authors do have their publisher handle it, and that's the choice they have to make for themselves. I do it myself because the publisher has to handle it for all their authors. And publishers can have dozens of authors. Publishers can have hundreds of authors. Publishers can have thousands of authors. And they have small legal staff. Now, it's a time-consuming thing, but at least I only have to handle the takedown notices for myself, and I can get them down a lot quicker than a publisher can.
And I saw this commercial. It was actually about pirating DVDs, but it applies here too, and you may have seen it if you it was a big campaign that went out on a lot of DVDs, but you see these people, you know, they're stealing a car, they're stealing a television, they're stealing some jewelry, and you know, the point of the whole thing is that, you know, you know you wouldn't go and hijack a car. You know you're not going to go in the jewelry store and steal a necklace. Pirating is stealing. It's stealing.
Absolutely.
You know, and people need to put that in that, you know, put that in context. It really is stealing. Now, we're down to, I have like a minute. And I know, you know, we have a new segment on the show that it's a speed round of questions. So we're going to actually really speed through these questions. You have about 2 seconds to answer each one. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right, here we go. Favorite all-time movie?
The Green Mile.
Favorite food?
Strawberries.
Favorite relative?
My husband.
Uh-oh. All right. Favorite vacation spot?
Arizona.
The book you wrote that you love the most?
Fragile.
Sunrise or sunset?
What's sunset.
Favorite way to get exercise?
Taekwondo.
Favorite kind of pet?
Dog.
Favorite superhero?
Wolverine.
Best picnic food?
Potato chips.
All right, you did it. Too fun. Now, to just real quickly, tell us, you know, what do you have happening next? What's coming up next? You have one book that's coming out, and is the second one coming out right away?
Well, If You Hear Her, you know, comes out this October. I've got the book signing that's going to be coming up in November, and I'm reissuing my Hunter's books that were originally released from Laura's Cave, The Rights of Roberta, back to me. So I'm going to be releasing them digitally. They'll have new covers. There's not going to be any new content available, but they will be released with new covers, and they're going to be at a lower price. So the readers who missed them the first time around, they'll be able to get them coming up here shortly. The next book in the Ash Trilogy, If You See Her, is going to be available in February. And then book 3 will be available in March.
Perfect. Well, Shelley, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us and for being such a great sport with our speed questions. But thank you for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
And I want to thank our listeners for joining us here at Readers Entertainment Radio. Don't forget, you can find us at readersentertainment.com. Go on over and leave a comment or question. If you leave something there, I'll make sure that Shiloh gets that information. Also, just for those of you who have a Kindle, just know that Readers Entertainment can now be found on Amazon's Kindle. Just go to amazon.com and search for Readers Entertainment News. I'm Sheila English, your host, and happy reading.